The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. On today's program, I am very pleased to welcome Toon Koopman, who is the founder and conductor of the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and Choir, who are performing at the Cranert Center in Urbana tonight for a concert at 7:30. That concert presents the B minor Mass by Johann Sebastian Bach, which is one of the great works of, one of the great works, period. Certainly one of the greatest works of Bach's and of the entire Baroque era. We'll be talking with Toon Koopman very shortly after this performance that his group recorded some years ago of the opening portion of Bach's Magnificat, or Magnificat, if you'd like the Latin pronunciation, Italian-Latin pronunciation. We just heard a recording of the opening of Johann Sebastian Bach's Magnificat, a recording made in 1998 by the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and Choir, led by its founding conductor, Toon Koopman, who is going to be leading those same forces at the Cranert Center for the Performing Arts tonight in a complete performance of Bach's monumental B minor Mass. And Mr. Koopman is my guest on this portion of Live and Local today. Thanks very much for joining us.
With pleasure.
So you have, I gather this is the start of your American tour here at the Cranert Center.
Yeah, we're just here for 2 days now, and so the jet lag is just disappearing, and everybody's enjoying. And in the afternoon, we'll have a little rehearsal still. And then the concert is on.
It's tonight at 7:30. And you have probably an unusual opportunity, since it's the start of the tour, you mentioned rehearsal, to actually rehearse in the place where you're performing. I imagine that most places you go in, you maybe have a quick rehearsal, and then you do the concert.
That's true. Yesterday already we were lucky to have a rehearsal to get a little bit of the first signs of the jet lag away with the soloists, orchestra and the choir. And then today the general rehearsal and a concert. And we were, of course, rehearsing in Holland already because we're on tour with two programs. One where there's Magnificat, by the way, and two cantatas, and then the B minor Mass. And so we start with the B minor Mass for a few concerts, only that. And then next week we have in one place, Chapel Hill, we do both concerts one after the other. And then it's one evening B minor, one evening cantatas, one etc. like that. So, very exciting tour and great music. We all enjoy doing that. And B minor Mass, of course, it's a special masterwork where you hear Bach young and old, because he was using music from the past for himself. And we hear Cantata 12 as his one of the earliest cantatas coming from Köthen and Weimar. And then we hear as well Bach, the most modern composer in 1748. So it's already, because of that perspective, fantastic. Then the forces which are there, I mean, the beautiful sound, like if you hear the Kyrie coming up with the traverse flutes and the Damores, and then the whole string orchestra and bassoons. No trumpets yet. The trumpets have to wait till the Gloria. And I think always that moment is a remarkable, beautiful moment. And I think that's the whole time in the B minor Mass. You wouldn't believe that the music was written in so different stages, that Bach was using several choruses and several arias, again, from Sacra Cantatas or for other cantatas, because it's a unity of a great master 2 years before his death.
That was not uncommon for him at all, to reuse material that he wrote earlier, as I understand it.
Yes, it's true. In the Christmas Oratorium, for instance, he did that. Bach had an enormous amount of work to do, to write his cantatas, teach, to write for other occasions as well, sacra cantatas particularly. And the sacra cantatas were performed only once, and he was writing some of the best music for that. And some of the choruses were extremely easy to listen at, what you would say music for the millions. And so Bach thought, why not use it again? And he was able, we call it parody, to fit the new text to the old music. And I think the result is remarkable. When you think for the Christmas Oratorium, the opening, Jochtet vor Locket, pom, 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 which originally is Tönet ihr Pauken, Erschallet Trompeten. So let the timps really make noise and let the trumpets do the best work they can and announce the birth of Jesus Christ. Interesting thing is there that if you change that in Jochtet vor Locket, it doesn't fit as well as the original text. But for most people, they don't know the original text because they never heard the Secular Cantata. And then Jochtet vor Locket fits very well with Christmas. So Bach did a good job. And I think as well, his poets did a very good job to help Bach to make it possible to have to know the music and to add the words to it.
Let's listen to a little bit of your recording of the B minor Mass. This is from 1995, I think. And we hear the Sanctus, which this is not one of the big grand, loud, fast choruses. This has a very different nature to it.
Yeah, it's a real grand piece. It's like we people look with astonishment to heaven. It's Sanctus. Sanctus, and with all the difficulties going up with the triplets in the choir and the orchestra, and then at the end it's just Lobgesang, what you would call in German. It's really praise the Lord in a most extremely beautiful way. And then when you play Concelli et Terra, then excitement is there, and the whole orchestra, and then the double choir is coming up with Hosanna. Extremely beautiful music as well, which Bach had used in a cantata, which is called it's a Christmas cantata, by the way. I think it's called Sanctus, actually. So you hear the whole piece, the same music, no change, and he just took that part and used it again for the B minor Mass. Because the B minor Mass, I don't know if everybody knows that, but the Kyrie and Gloria is new music. It's specially written for the Missa Brevis, one of the short masses which Bach performed in Leipzig a few times, like he wrote many other ones. And in this case, he needed the help of the Duke of Dresden. And the Duke of Dresden, always when Bach had problems, he came there. And Bach had problems in Leipzig because he was ill. And the town council was already doing an audition for his successor. And I think very nice. It's not to your famous musician which you have as the leader of your music. And Bach was so hurt by this that he thought, okay, now I need the help again because I'm not that and I don't want to go that. And so he finished in a short time the B minor Mass, sent it to the Duke, and of course the Duke was behind him again. So Bach could quietly die in Leipzig after an eye operation, and then the successor, who was already chosen, took the job.
It's music from the B minor Mass of Johann Sebastian Bach, the Sanctus, played here by the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and sung by the choir with Ton Koopman as a conductor. They are going to be performing the complete B minor Mass tonight at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And you're listening to Live and Local. That was the Sanctus from the B minor Mass of Johann Sebastian Bach with the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and Choir, a recording made Oh, about 18 years ago now, they're performing the complete work at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight. And my guest on this portion of Live and Local is the founder and conductor of orchestra and choir, Ton Koopman. I wanted to ask you about the founding and the nature of those two ensembles. 1979, the orchestra, 1992, the choir, a nice distance there. But understand these are not ensembles that meet all the time. They just get together occasionally, and they come from all over the place?
Yeah, in Europe, there's no orchestra which is just completely the whole year performing together, like a symphony orchestra do. In Canada, I know one orchestra, Tafel Music, who is working the complete year.
You're talking about period, early music. Ensembles.
Yeah, I talk about chamber orchestras using historical instruments. What we do is normally we work in bits, like 2 weeks in a row, doing a program, and we do such a thing maybe six times a year, sometimes seven times a year. It depends a bit if there are large recording projects going on. Sometimes when you go to Japan, normally you go for 3 weeks because it's a lot of traveling and it's expensive, and people there, they know then you better go with two programs and do both programs in the same hall. So that's normally 3 weeks. If we go to Australia, it's normally 3 weeks as well. And America's closer. And so we are now 2 weeks here. So the orchestra doesn't work now as a big orchestra till June. But in between, we do two smaller projects. One project performing eight times the concerts for 2-4 harpsichords of Bach, which is single strings and four harpsichords. And we do one program with Bach cantatas in a very small setup with just strings, one oboe, one trumpet and the soprano. And then after that, so in 3 months, then the whole group comes together again. And then at the end of July. And so it's a nice way because everybody enjoys coming from different kind of coming from playing in different ensembles as well, because most musicians in the Amsterdam Rock Orchestra and the choir as well are performing as well with another group. And that's necessary because otherwise they could not make a good living with that. But they come with experience. Oh, we did that, you know, it was fantastic. Or we played music by Kosek. We never played any music by Kosek. Quite nice music. Or it's not Haydn, or you know, this kind of discussion. It's in a period orchestra always the musicians are friends because they enjoy being together. It's a completely different way of setting up an orchestra. People think always it's just on files. You call a number one is not there, then you call number two is not there, number three is there, it's fine, and then number nine again. It's not like that. The Amsterdam Orchestra would never perform unless 85% of the people are there. So we are completely different because we want to work with those people to get our sound, our musical impact. And with the choir, it's the same. That's even higher. The orchestra is completely international. I think we have it four Dutch people. Mm. The rest is coming from France, from Italy, from Spain, from England, particularly from Germany. In the choir, I think 90% is Dutch, so it's a completely different system, and a few are from England and a few are from Germany. That's all. So, but those people, if you look at the Bach cantatas we recorded, if you look at the Buxtehude cantatas we recorded, you see mostly the same names already for a long time. So when I started the Amsterdam Rock Orchestra, that's long ago, so it means from that time, 33 years, only a few people are there. And particularly the timpani player is still there.
Really? Wow.
He is one of the people. Normally, the one who played first trumpet plays now second trumpet, but this time he's not there. But that's exceptional. The first flute player is there from the beginning. Almost was a very young kid when starting. So it's nice. I mean, I know them all well. They know me well. If you are with a group like that on tour as well, you are a bit... the person who helps him if they are in troubles, if there are problems at home. I mean, now the second cello, his brother had a brain attack, so he's in a very shaky situation. What will go to happen? Now, that's an important part. If you are in a big symphony orchestra, there's so many people, you cannot bother about everybody. But in this case, there's the artistic leader is as well, me is as well, the conductor. So you are really involved. You like those people to be with you. There's no contract. So they could say next time, Ton, I'm so sorry. I don't like to play with you anymore. Away. I could do that as well. But till now, that didn't happen. Normally what happened was that people got a family and they said, you know, you are in Oxford, we're traveling a lot. It's just a bit too much for me. Or when you have fantastic violins, that somebody gets a job in another Ox to be the leader there. So in that way, you lose people. Sometimes you lose people because they grow older, and they cannot play as good as before. But there's always a friendly situation, an understanding situation, and particularly as friendship. And I think you can hear that when you hear the concerts.
So the members of the orchestra generally play in other period or historical performance orchestras as well, or do some of them play on modern instrument ensembles?
No, I think none of them is really making his living with a modern instrument. But some people, like the concertmaster Catherine Manson, is having a string quartet with historical instruments and performing on this moment and recording all the Haydn quartets. And so, you know, in that way, people find their own way. Some other people are teacher at the conservatory or combine chamber music with teacher and doing this. And some other people play in different orchestras. And sometime are not fixed members of an orchestra or are fixed members. I mean, there are quite some people who play with John Elliott Gardner as well, who play in my group. But often the combination doesn't work because we are doing a project on the same time as them. And for years, there were many people from Trevor Pinnock's orchestra, and that was always a very good collaboration. We were very good colleagues and friends to give the opportunity for people, if there was one day overlapping, to make it possible. And there's some people playing with Sigiswald Kuiken. The French people, of course, are playing in French orchestras as well, particularly with Philippe Herrewege. But normally, there's a good contact between the conductors of the orchestras. We know each other well. Sometimes there were, like Philippe Herrewege, a student of mine, so we know each other very well. René Jacobs, in the very beginning of the Amsterdam Barok Orchestra, and even with the orchestra I had before, René was often soloist as a countertenor. So it's a small world, a small family, and it's nice to see, even when people are growing older, that as long as they can work and do well, to have them.
I wanted to ask you, when you go to work with another orchestra, because I know you do some guest conducting, sometimes with large symphony orchestras, how do you approach earlier music, Baroque music, with an ensemble like that, that does not play on historical instruments and that probably isn't used to the sort of phrazing, the sort of tempo, and the things that you've become accustomed to do?
Yeah. No, you know, I even don't do any guest conducting with Baroque orchestras, because my manager is very much against it, because he feels I'm creating my own orchestra, so my own concurrent. I know what sound I like and I know how to get the sound. And you know, Baroque orchestra normally has more time to rehearse than modern symphony orchestra. So it's as well nice to see where you can come. And I have to say, like in America, I conducted all the major orchestras. And it's interesting to see that although in America there's very little rehearsal time in comparison with Europe, that people are so willing to do it a different way. If it's Boston, is it New York? If it's Cleveland, who knows me now, because I'm for 3 years the fixed guest conductor. But I was last year for the first time in San Francisco, and I will do the same kind of job there starting next year, like I do now in Cleveland. Chicago, I mean, I only have good experiences, actually, with the smaller orchestras as well, like St. Paul's Chamber Orchestra. I have no negative feeling. People are willing to try what you ask. And of course, you have to be quick, because you cannot just think, oh, let's try this. Oh, no, this doesn't work. Let's try this. No, it doesn't work. You have to be quick to say, we do like this, and ask clearly what you want and ask it again. Because I think it's not enough to just say no vibrato, because no vibrato or everything vibrato is the same mistake. It should be to color with a little bit of vibrato. The phrasing, of course, I bring, if I have, the material of the Amsterdam Barok Orchestra, so the phrasing is there, to see that I make many more trills, but already to make a good trill is something to learn. And I remember when I worked first time with Yo-Yo Ma, for him as well, it was a different world, but it's a world which is logical. It's a musical world if you may Baroque music, like the Baroque orchestras are doing that, the period instrument orchestras are doing that. It's not something that is abacadabra for a good musician, particularly not for good musicians who are doing chamber music. Somebody who plays in a string quartet, somebody who plays Bach sonatas on violin solo or on the cello, know that intonations sometimes have to be different there to survive. That phrasing is different. That using open strings is sometimes, you cannot avoid to do that. And then if you're asked not to play fourth finger, but to play open string, then suddenly say, hey, it sounds better. It rings. There's a difference. So what I try in a short time is at one point to get a different sound of the orchestra. At the other side, to talk as little as possible in the rehearsal and say, you know, in all the breaks, I'm there. Come, ask me. In a free moment, some musicians will say, oh, we'll play this Bach sonata. May we come and play it for you? So I'll always do those things, which is very nice. And my experience is, it's not difficult to be invited once by an orchestra, but it's difficult to come back. And with many of the big orchestras, I was for several times. So it means it works. And sometime in the second half, I do a Mendelssohn or Schubert or Schumann, Maximum. That's my most avant-garde composer I do.
So something Baroque maybe in the first part and then something a little later after that.
Yeah, I mean, I did with San Francisco very short ago, I did Tafel Music of Telemann, which is, of course, very far away. But there are many orchestras who play very rarely a Haydn symphony even. And to do one of the beautiful Haydn symphonies or one of the extreme beautiful ones, the London symphonies, I mean, it's amazing to see that not only the clarinets are playing no vibrato, but the others are playing very little vibrato, using it as a color, and there's suddenly a much more open sound. It's interesting, my wife is sometime, Tini Matteau, is sometime playing continuo with those groups, if she has the time to do that. And she said, when we start, I don't hear myself. And after an hour, I start to hear myself, because suddenly clarity is there. And the nice thing is that you see that you're not forcing people to do something against their will, but that they think, why not? And maybe the end is say, nice, we made a completely different noise, this orchestra, today.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Ton Koopman is my guest on this portion of Live and Local. He is founder and conductor of the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and a guest conductor of many orchestras across the world. And he and the choir are going to be at the Krannert Center tonight in a performance of the complete B minor Mass of Johann Sebastian Bach. That concert starts at 7:30 in the Vollinger Great Hall, and you can go to krannertcenter.com for more information. Let's go out with another portion from the B minor Mass, the recording that you made in 1995. And this is the beginning of the first part of the very long Credo, Credo in Unum Deum, and that text is what we hear just next, I believe in one God. And I really appreciate your taking the time to be with us on Live and Local.
It was a pleasure to be there. Thank you.
That was the opening portion of the very long section of the B minor Mass of Johann Sebastian Bach that constitutes the complete text of what most of the Catholic tradition know as the Nicene Creed, Credo in Unum Deum, I believe in one God, that means, and a performance by the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and Choir, conducted by Ton Koopman, who will be leading those same forces in the complete B minor Mass of Bach tonight at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. We'll have another excerpt from the B minor Mass coming up in just a few moments, and then an example of Ton Koopman's organ playing. He's a very fine organist and harpsichordist, and thought I'd share some of that as well. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. You can see Villages, Castles, and Manors from Masterpiece and Mystery and more in England and Wales for 14 days, beginning September 27th. If American History appeals, board WYLL's Civil War train. Private vintage train cars leaving for the southern battlefields with historian Anthony Pitch, September 7th. Information is available at will.illinois.edu/willtravel or call 217-333-7300. The credo of the B minor Mass, as I indicated, is a rather lengthy portion of the entire piece, and it comes in different segments, setting different portions of the text, some with soloists, some with choir. Here is another one of rather different character. This is what is called in Latin, et incarnatus est, and was made man, as we usually translate it in English, as was made corporeal or made body by God. This is, again, the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and choir led by Toon Koopman. Et incarnatus est, and was made human by Johann Sebastian Bach. In syntax, didn't come out quite right. That was et incarnatus est from the B minor Mass by Johann Sebastian Bach in a performance by the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and Choir, Toon Koopman, founder and conductor. Our program today on Live and Local is made possible by Krannert Art Museum, presenting a discussion on American contemporary glass by curator John Liebman, Carmen Lozar artist Amy Ruffert, ceramics instructor John Miller, assistant professor of art at Illinois State University, and collector Joy Thornton Walter on Thursday, March 8th at 5:30 p.m. That's tonight, Thursday, March 8th at 5:30. Toon Koopman is not only a fine conductor, he is also a very fine harpsichordist and organist. And we have a number of his performances of the works of Bach and others in our library here. Unfortunately, we don't have a complete recording of his B minor Mass. The portions I've played come from excerpt CDs of various kinds of choral music, and I wasn't able to track one down. But this is a complete performance by Toon Koopman of the Toccata, Adagio, and Fugue in C major, BWV, which is Bach Werk Verzeichnis, the collection of Bach's works, number 564 in C major. This recording was made quite some time ago, I think in the early 80s. I wrote it down somewhere, and now, of course, I can't find it again, at least not quickly. Maybe not quickly enough at all. Ah, here we go. Here's the correct page. 1983, recorded in Amsterdam on what's known as the Grote Kerk, which I think probably means Great Church of Maassluis. Toon Koopman, music of Bach for the organ on Live and Local. That was a performance of the Toccata, Adagio and Fugue in C major of Johann Sebastian Bach, his BWV catalog listing 564 in a performance by Toon Koopman, who will be leading the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and Choir in a performance of Bach's B minor Mass at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. Here are some other events you can go see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days at least, and maybe we'll get to mention some into the weekend. Today being Thursday, that means that the Eastern Illinois University Jazz Lab Band will be playing at the Dowden of Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7:30. It's a program called, it's a musical called Pinkalicious, being put on by Parkland Theater at Parkland College in Champaign tonight at 7:30, Friday and Saturday as well, with a Saturday matinee at 3 o'clock. The Illinois State University Symphonic Band is performing tonight at 8 o'clock in Normal at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts. It's the Bogside Zooks playing Irish music at Donnelly's Shamrock Pub in Peoria tonight at 7:30. The Spurlock Museum at the University of Illinois in Urbana is presenting Play of Adam, being put on by the university's Department of Theater. Performances at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock this evening and Friday evening. There's a Sudden Sound concert at the Krannert Art Museum on the University of Illinois campus in Champaign. It's Jimmy Bennington's Color and Sound, Avant-Garde Jazz. That's a program at 7:30 tonight. The Big Creek Guitar Band is at Huber's in Champaign tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Penny Dreadful Players are performing All the Queen's Men at University Place Christian Church in Champaign tomorrow and Saturday at 8 o'clock. It's Boss Tenors, I don't really know what that's about, at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. The musical Avenue Q is being put on by ADHD Productions at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield, Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock, with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Reverend Robert is at Toasters in Mattoon at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. It's the Almost A Trio at Bouvon's in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6:30. The Shanties play Irish music at the Knights of Columbus in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. The Emerald Underground plays Irish music as well. That's at Robbie's Restaurant in Springfield tomorrow evening at 5:30. It's The Travels of the Ugly Duckling being presented by the Champaign-Urbana Champaign Park District's Dance Arts School at the Virginia Theater, Irish Dance and Contemporary Ballet on that program. Tomorrow and Saturday night, not clear here from this calendar. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the evening, Saturday at 2 o'clock. I don't know if there's a Saturday evening performance or not. Illinois Rail play bluegrass at Theater School in Bloomington, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And finally, Richland Community College presents 39 Steps at Schilling Auditorium and the college's campus Indicator. That's Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. One more here. Decatur Park District presents Once on This Island at the Decatur Civic Center Theater, Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And we'll get into the rest of the weekend's events on tomorrow's show. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features wines from California, including Sean Minor Chardonnay, Traviesto Rhone Blend, and High Flyer CR. Followed by live music from 7 to 9 by the Klezmer Band, Don't Ask. And since we have been been playing the music of Bach the full hour, I thought we'd go out with more Bach. Then we come back to the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and Choir. This is from their performance of the Magnificat of Bach, of which we heard the beginning at the very start of the hour. And here are some of the closing choruses. On Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.